Luke chapter 5. We've been studying this text in Luke 5 about the calling of the disciples. There were 12 disciples that Jesus called to be his guys. Four of the 12 are called right here in this text, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And I've emphasized to you over and over, they were ordinary guys. These guys, they were in the fishing business. They were commercial fishermen. The disciples were ordinary, everyday guys. None of them were famous. None of them were entertainers. None of them were religious elite. They were all ordinary, everyday guys that Jesus chose to walk with him and to be the guys that he was going to hand everything over to when he left. And so, you know, if you're an ordinary person, you just consider yourself average, just an average type person, you know, average intellect, average looks, just kind of average, you know, abilities and talents. Well, that's great because Christ can use you because he used the 12 and all of them were extremely just ordinary guys. And if we're going to take it to the next level in 2020, can you believe that it's February? Can you believe 1 month's already gone this year? Isn't that crazy? It's like, it just seems like we just flipped the calendar year and 1 month's gone already, the 12. But, it's still new in the year. It's still kind of a brand new year. And if you're going to take it to the next level as a Christ follower in 2020, what does that look like? And so we've been examining the call of Jesus Christ here upon these men in this text. And so just to kind of review, you look in your handout, you'll see the ground we covered, is that Christ's calling on your life is always going to be a call to leave your comfort zone. Whatever he calls you to grow and change, whatever changes he wants to make in your life, whatever he wants to use you to do, it's a call to leave your comfort zone. Guarantee you. Look at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Sea of Galilee. And Jesus looks over, he sees two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, were washing their nets. They'd been up all night fishing, now they're cleaning up. All right. Verse 3. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Peter, and he asked him that he would thrust out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of Peter's ship, okay? So we talked about how this probably made, you know, Peter, who's a commercial fisherman, a little bit nervous, kind of had to leave his comfort zone. Jesus, you know, he just cleaned up everything. Now Jesus says, "I want you to, you know, take it out a little bit from the land." He's like, "What is he up to? What's he doing?" Leaving his comfort zone to obey Christ. But then, number two, we said that it's a call to also leave your excuses because things get a little bit more interesting here. Look down at verse number 4, and let's continue on. It says, "Now, when he had left or quit speaking," it says that he said to Simon, notice he says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought," a big catch of fish. They just cleaned everything up. Now he wants them to launch the boat back out. And so verse 5, Peter answered, said to him, "Master, we've toiled all the night." Excuse number one, we've been up all night, right? Number two, we've taken nothing. So there's nothing right now to be caught out there. There's just no fish, right? They're not catching, they're not biting. And then, like I said, there's probably a big pause. He sees Jesus doesn't budge. So then he says, "Nevertheless, at your word," he says, "I will let down the net." So he decides to put aside his excuses and obey Jesus Christ. And so when Christ calls upon you to do something, to make a change, to do something you know you ought to be doing, to use your talents and abilities, whenever he calls on you, it's a call to leave your comfort zone, leave your excuses. But number three, this is a biggie. This is something we all deal with. Number three, it's a call to leave your fear. So I want you to write that in. It's a call to leave your fear. We all deal with this issue of fear. We're going to see Peter dealt with fear, all right? So let's kind of move on and let's look at this. Look at verse number 6. It says, "And when they had this done," they obeyed. So they go out, they're in the deep. "They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink." They had so much fish, they were sinking. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon." Notice Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not. From hereafter, from now on, you shall catch men." So as we move on in the story, they go out into the deep and this amazing event happens. Peter is a commercial fisherman. He knows this is a miracle, all right? He knows this. He's already familiar with Christ. He's already seen some of Jesus and, you know, and so he's already somewhat familiar with him. Now this happens, and it's like he knows, wait a minute, this doesn't happen. This does not occur. Never seen this before. We caught nothing. Now all of a sudden, there's so much fish. Our nets are breaking. He knows that this is a miracle, and he knows this is the Lord. He knows this is the Messiah, and so he falls down in total humility when he considers who he is and who Christ is. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. He's scared to death. Now, I know some of us that's hard to understand because, you know, we think, well, why would you be scared in the presence of Jesus? Jesus is loving and he's kind and he died on the cross. Well, all this is before the cross. He doesn't know Christ that well. He just knows that he is the... Let me ask you something. What if all of a sudden you found yourself in the presence of the Lord God? I mean, he sees himself in the light of who Christ is. And he's like hitting his knees. How many of y'all think we might do the same thing? He hits his knees, man. You know? And I love the first words out of Jesus' mouth. Jesus said, "Fear not." I love that. You see, Jesus knew Peter was dealing with fear. In fact, two times in the text, Peter's dealing with fear, twice. The first time he's dealing with kind of more of an outward, superficial fear. It's kind of a fear of the circumstances. When Jesus says, "Come on, boys, let's go, launch it back out." That's kind of more just a fear of the circumstances. Like, you know, a fear of, you know, of losing sleep. We've been up all night. It's a fear of wasting time, wasting resources. We just cleaned everything up, looking silly in front of tons of people over on the shoreline there. You know they're watching. And so, you know, kind of losing face. He's got this fear. That's why he makes the excuses. You know, we've been up all night. We've toiled all night. We've been working all night. We've caught nothing. And so it's a fear of the circumstances. But the second fear is much deeper. The second one, when he comes in and he just bows down, you know, and he's like, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, oh Lord." Now, this is more of an inner fear of his own inadequacy. This is a fear of rejection. He knows who he is. Now he knows who Christ is. And so there's this inner fear of total divine disapproval. And Peter thought the only answer for this, the only answer for his own sinfulness and his own sense of inadequacy, the only answer he thought was to separate himself from Christ. I got to get away from you, Jesus. Of course, that wasn't the answer at all. The answer was not to have Christ depart from him. The answer was not at all to move away from Christ. That was his fear talking. And there are many today who have those same feelings. Their own feelings of inadequacy, their fear of rejection causes them to isolate themselves. Depart from me. They isolate themselves from other people. They isolate themselves from family. Maybe they isolate themselves from God, from Jesus. And they think in their mind, they think, God would never accept me. God would never want me. God knows all I've done and God is mad at me. They think, man, God would never listen to my prayers. Now, maybe he'd listen to Pastor Dan's prayers, but he'd never listen to my prayers. Hey, listen, I've told you this before. Did you know I'm a human like you? Isn't it great to know I'm not a zombie, I'm a human? And you know I'm a sinner? And did you know I do not have a special pipeline to God, to talk to God in prayer? Well, I take that back. I do have a special pipeline, and it's the same one you have. It's Jesus Christ. That's my only pipe. Same one you got. And that's Jesus. And Peter's like, "I got to get away from you, Lord." Well, that wasn't the answer at all. And so Jesus knows that Peter is dealing with this fear and this sense of inadequacy and this fear of rejection and this fear of you know, who he is in the light of who Christ is. And so Jesus, I love it. Jesus says, "Fear not. Because from now on, you're going to catch men. And when he said that, that was Jesus' way of saying, Peter, I love you, I want you, I accept you, I have plans for you, man, and I am going to use you mightily. From now on, you're going to catch souls, Peter. In other words, you are going to lead other people to faith in me, man. You are going to be a leader, and I want you, Peter. And I don't care about your past. I see potential in your future. And I got big plans for you, man. And, you know, just like old Peter, we've all got fears. And this is an important statement. It's in your handout, and I really want you to get this. We'll bring it up on the screen. Fear can paralyze you spiritually. Fear can just kind of like freeze you. Hey, you ever think you hear something in the middle of the night and it wakes you up? Not me, I'm a sound sleeper, but Denise has that happen. And when that happens, she wakes me up, or tries. And if she gets me awake, what do? You're like, huh, what? And you're like, listen, what do? You freeze. Now, maybe you're the type that rolls out of the bed immediately with a billy club in your hand. I don't know. But most people, when that happens and you think you hear something, what do? You freeze. You're paralyzed. What do? Fear can paralyze you in your walk with Christ. Listen, fear can cause you to say no to opportunities that you really should say yes to. Right? Like the Discovering Crossroads class, you know, or getting in a small group. It can cause you to say no to things that you really ought to say yes to. Fear. You know, it's like me. When I was in college, I wanted to ask Denise out. But I was scared to death. And man, I thought she's the prettiest girl in the school. And I'm like, I want to ask her out, but fear kept me from doing it. I was afraid. What if she says no? What if she likes somebody else? What if she laughs in my face? I overcame my fear. I overcame my fear. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be standing here right now, because Denise was my connection to Daytona. She was from here, from this church. And so if I wouldn't have overcome my fear, I wouldn't be standing here preaching to you right now, and she'd have probably married some jerk. That's right. But I overcame my fear, and I launched out. Amen. I launched out. I launched out, and there's a verse in your handout. Look at it at the bottom. It says, God has not given us a spirit of what?
Fear.
But of power. Say it with me. Of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. God's word and Jesus' words to you today are fear not. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what you're going through. But here's the word of God to you today. Fear not. And if this year is going to be a year of growth and change for you, if you're really going to move past where you've been and you're going to move forward, if you say, I really want to be a true Christ follower, you got to leave fear and you got to follow Christ. Look at verse 11, when it says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know what that means? They didn't just forsake their ships and their nets. They forsook their fears. They left their fears behind to follow Christ. They did not let fear paralyze them. Now, how does this apply to you? We study the word. We read the word. We analyze the word. We break it down. We look at the principles. But then there comes a point where the rubber's got to meet the road. And you got to say, how does this apply to me? Are you afraid of giving your all to Christ? Are you afraid of getting off the fence and truly committing your heart and your life to Jesus Christ? But yet you know that's what you need to do, but you're fearful. You're fearful. Fear is going to paralyze you. You know, if you're going to get off the fence and you're going to get committed and you're going to get all in, you're going to have to overcome that fear. Maybe fear has kept you from connecting with a small group, which you know you need to do. You know, maybe fear, that's, you know, the dinner is on Wednesday night. The reason why we do the dinners is to encourage people to come out. You don't have to cook. You can come out, grab a bite to eat, go to a small group. 80% of our small groups meet on Wednesday night. We meet other times too, but a bunch of them meet on Wednesday night. So they do the dinner to encourage people to come, get connected to a small group. You know you need to do it. Fear. Maybe you had a bad experience in a group one time. That happens. That absolutely happens. You know, people have a bad experience in a small group and they're like, well, not doing that again. Why? You're afraid. You're fearful. But you know what? We tell people at our church, if you don't like one small group, go try another. Just go try another group. That's that simple. You know, and listen, you may have a bad experience at the grocery store, but guess what? You're going back because you like to eat. You may have had a bad experience in a restaurant, but you're going back to restaurants, aren't you? Right. So just because you had an bad experience at a church or in a small group doesn't mean that you let fear keep you from doing what you know you need to be doing. Some of you are afraid to get involved serving. You got talents, you got abilities, but you're afraid. Some of you know you need to share your faith with someone. You just need to say a word. You need to maybe invite them to the coffee house and have coffee, or invite them to your small group, or invite them to church, or invite them to an event at the church, or just invite them to Christ. And yet, fear. You know, there's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman that he did back in the 90s, and I love it. It's called Dive. And, you know, it has meaning to this because this is all about launching out, you know, into the deep and then taking that dive. And in the chorus of the song, he's talking about how I'm on the ledge and I'm fearful to jump in. And then the chorus just says, I'm diving in, I'm going deep, in over my head I want to be. Caught in the rush, lost in the flow, in over my head I want to go. The river's deep, the river's wide, the river's water is alive. So sink or swim, I'm diving in. And that's what we got to say. We got to say, I'm getting off the fence. And I want to get all in. You know, you look at Phoebe over here on the drums, and she's an amazing talent. I mean, I've had people who know music listen to their project, and they're like, who's that drummer, you know? And back then, she was like 14. I'm like, that's a 14-year-old girl in our church. They're like, what? They're like, she's amazing, her rhythm and everything. And she's amazing on the drums. But you know what the backstory to that is? Is that her dad, Mike Rich, and her mom, Stacy Rich, they started coming to our church sitting on the back row, sitting on the fence. There was a day and time they came and met with me, and they decided they were getting off the fence and they were going to go all in. And that was probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And Mike's been faithful ever since. And that's why Phoebe's there. There's no telling where that girl would be, because her dad, Mike, will tell you he was heading down a dead-end street. Stacy wasn't even saved, didn't even know the Lord. Mike knew the Lord when he was 4, but he'll tell you he was becoming or was an alcoholic. His life was going in such the wrong direction. Never even told his wife about Christ. They sat down in my office, and Mike's like, well, I got saved. I started witnessing to him. Mike's like, well, I got saved when I was 4. His wife looked at him and said, you what? She said, you never told me that. I didn't know you were a Christian, you know. Never even told her. But they made a decision that they were diving in. They were going to get committed. They were going to get off the fence, and God began to do incredible things in their lives. Mike's a deacon at our church now, has been serving for years. He's a leader, life group teacher. He teaches one of our small groups. Great guy. That's Phoebe's dad. That's why she's here, playing the drums. He had to leave his fears. Number 4, last thing is this. Christ's call is a call to leave your selfishness. Boy, that's what we see here, you know. They forsake all, and they follow Christ, verse 11 says. And you know, here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with having goals and dreams and aspirations. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the deal, guys. When my dreams conflict with his plans for my life, then I'm willing to leave those behind. And that's what we see in verse 11. When my plans collide with his plans, he wins. That's a disciple's attitude. Christ wins every time. The disciples had just taken in one of the biggest catches of their lives. This represented a ton of money. They were at the height of their careers, so to speak. But what did they do when Jesus called? Verse 11, look at it again. It says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What did they do with all this stuff? I mean, they were commercial fishermen with boats and nets and equipment. I don't know. I don't know what they did with it. I guess they left it to James and John's father, Zebedee, who was in the business with them. I guess they left it all to Zebedee. They just gave it away. They didn't work deals. They didn't work bargains. Hey, Jesus, we'll catch up with you once we liquidate our business. No, they're like, here you go, Zebedee. The boats, the equipment, the fish, all of it's yours. We got to go. We got to go. You don't really believe they left everything? Well, Peter's own words later in Matthew 19, 27, you know what he told Jesus? He said, Jesus, we have left all and followed you. We have left all and followed you. And you know what Jesus' response was? Jesus said, guys, every one of you that has forsaken houses, lands, family, hey, you are going to receive 100-fold in my kingdom, and you are going to receive everlasting life. Now, am I saying that you got to leave your career to follow Christ? Am I saying that you have to give everything away to follow Christ? Of course not. That's how it looked for them. But how does it look for you? What does it look like for you to follow Christ? See? Christ asked to borrow Peter's boat. He asked for his time, right? He said, launch out. He asked for his skills. He said, let down your net. He asked, in your handout says he ultimately asked for his life. He said, come and follow me. And that's how it is with a person who has decided to be a disciple of Christ. Whatever I possess, whatever I own, whatever I hold in my hand, it's his. Hey, listen, a disciple doesn't go around like this. Little kids do. Mine, right? My little grandson is two. If Landon has it, he wants it. His older brother, Landon. If his brother has it, he wants it. Once he gets it, he looks, Landon's got something else, he wants that. Mine. No, a disciple lives open-handed. It's like, you know what? Jesus, whatever I possess, whatever I own, whatever I hold in my hand, even my very life, Lord, I offer it to your service. God, if you want to borrow my boat, my car, my skills, my home, my riches, they're all at your disposal. That's a disciple's attitude. I wonder what your boat or net or skills are that Jesus might call you to use in service for him or in service to others. Jesus is Lord. You believe that? Well, the disciple knows it. And a disciple has the attitude, anything I have is yours to use, Jesus. And he will. He will. Christ is calling you to follow him. He's asking you to, he is asking to use you and to use your boat. See, I don't have a boat. That's figurative, all right? That's figurative. Some of you are like, I don't have a boat. Yeah. That's a figurative statement for whatever it is you have. Christ wants to use you. When Christ calls you to follow him, and when Christ calls you to be a true disciple, you may squirm a little bit. But remember, Jesus' call is a call to leave your excuses, leave your fears, leave your comfort zone, leave your selfishness. Now, how does that look for you today? I don't know. What is Christ calling you to do? Is he calling you to share your faith with someone? Is he calling you maybe to get involved serving? Is he calling you to maybe help a person that needs help? Is he calling you to fix your marriage that you've been putting off? Is he calling you to, you know, maybe you need to trust Christ and be saved and become his child? What's he calling you to? There's a gentleman that you know, and I'm going to have him come up on the platform. His name's Steve Daniels, and Steve stands right here each Sunday, and he very aptly, he's an incredible musician. He plays the electric guitar. A lot of you may not know this, but he's also a doctor. He's a chiropractic doctor, and he's had his own practice. He's worked down here at Palmer as an instructor, and Steve shared with me his heart that he wants to begin in Port Orange a charitable clinic of different doctors, nurses, different services to be able to help needy people in our community. I think that's an awesome goal, you know. And Steve could easily just have his own practice, do whatever, but this is the way the calling of Christ looks for him. That's why I say you got to figure out how it looks for you. This is how it looks for him. So I want him to just share a little bit of that with you. Steve, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. Good morning, church. So you might want to ask yourselves, why would somebody want to start a not-for-profit clinic? Well, for me, the desire started as a provider working in a health department many years ago. And I saw the value in the patients, meaning the services that they receive that they wouldn't normally be able to receive at this location and other health departments. I'm talking about underinsured, uninsured, working poor, people who just cannot afford care. So that desire to help them stayed with me many years, and I transitioned back over to this coast. God had a reason, we agree, that I'm here. And I got tired of seeing people fall through the gaps in healthcare. So my goal was to break down the barriers to access of quality healthcare for these people so they could get the treatment that they needed. So my goal, or the goal, I don't want to say me or I, the goal was to break down those barriers, right? So here's where the fear comes in. My analysis of this whole situation was, this is too big, it's too much, too many moving parts, and I don't want anything to do with it. So I did like Jonah did, and I bolted. I said, nope, no thanks, nope. And then I did like Moses. I said, well, you know, I started making excuses, and I'm like, nope, nope. So God's analysis of this whole thing was, I am Almighty God, and nothing is too big for me. So then God's question to me prompted my heart, said, Steve, where's your faith? It's in you. So I put my trust back in him. I repented for running and squirming and making excuses. And I revisited the feasibility of starting a clinic over here. So I got in touch with some people up the country that help not-for-profit startups like us. And last fall, we started this process rolling to launch out. The phrase launch out is really a good one. So the service lines that we want to have there are chiropractic, obviously. We want to have full-time MD. We want to have skilled nursing. We want to have nutritional counseling, spiritual counseling, because it is a faith-based clinic. And we have many people from our church have already answered the call to join me in this. And we also want to have OBGY for the single moms who can't afford to go to an OBGY elsewhere. So here's my shameless plug. I told Pastor Dan I was going to do this. Our planning team is now forming, but we don't have everybody in place. And I really need, we need, no I or me, we need an attorney who's really good with not-for-profit setup and startup. So we know we're doing things right and is good with business law. So if you is an attorney or if you know one, please come to see me because we could really use your help and I would greatly appreciate it. So right now I would just ask that you pray, not this second right now, but pray in your quiet time. And if you want to get involved in this ministry, just again, be praying for it. I want you to prayerfully consider your skill set and your spiritual gifts. Kind of look back on what those are. And if you want more information, come grab me when I set my guitar down. I'll be glad to give you the full skinny on everything. We can't do everything in 3 minutes. So thank you.
Amen. So I know Steve can amen what I'm about to give you. It's the last statement in your handout there. And it says, when you obey Christ and you choose to follow him like these disciples did, the adventure begins. Amen. That's when the adventure begins. It did for these guys, the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And that's when the adventure begins with us. When we just decide, okay, I'm all in. I'm off the fence. I'm following Jesus. Boy, that's when the exciting adventure really begins. So I hope you'll make that decision to be a Christ follower today and see how this looks for you. Let's pray.